these evening services to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. 2 weeks ago, when I was last here, we were in Hebrews chapter 7 and considering Melchizedek. So if you have your Bible with you, please turn to Hebrews chapter 8. The high priest of ancient Israel, that is in the Old Testament days, his work was in the tabernacle, which later became the temple in Jerusalem. I suppose we could say that a tabernacle or the temple was similar to what we would call a church building today. Yet there were differences. For example, there was only one tabernacle, only one temple. The Jewish people had other places of worship, but they weren't temples, they were synagogues. The temple was the only place where sacrifices were made. The word tabernacle means the dwelling place. It was the place on earth representing God's dwelling. Where is God's real dwelling? His real dwelling, his real tabernacle, is heaven itself. Also, his real dwelling is the hearts and minds of those who know him. Yet we do not see in heaven his real dwelling place with our eyes, nor do we see into one another's hearts and minds. Therefore, it's necessary for there to be a visible sign for all the world to see. The tabernacle of the temple. Today we might say the church, to remind us that there is a God with whom we all have to do. Speaking of Jesus, we read in Hebrews 8, 1 and 2 these words. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, set up by the Lord, not by man. And then verses 3 to 5. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain." The tabernacle on earth was first of all the tent which the people of Israel carried in their wanderings in the wilderness, where Moses met with God face to face and his face shone. It was a sign and a reminder to the people of Israel that material existence is not all that there is. Do you ever feel that material existence is all that there is? That air and water and rock and earth and soil and plants and animals, your human flesh, the moon, the sun and stars, that that's all that there is? That that is the whole show? That when your body dies, that's the end of you? Do you ever feel that that is the case? You know, we all naturally slip into that way of thinking if we're not careful. Why? Because that is what these are the things I've mentioned are what we see, hear, feel, touch, and smell. In one sense, the presence of God is obvious. Because none of these things that I've mentioned, the air, the water, the rock, plants, animals, human body, nothing could come into existence by itself. The universe began. Who brought it into being? Who lit the stars? They haven't been burning forever. Who designed the wonders of the plants and the animals? To say it all happened by itself, of course, is sheer nonsense. There is as much information in the simplest cell of the plant. The simplest cell of the plant contains as much information as 30 times the excitement. 30 times the Encyclopedia Britannica is just one little bit of that plant. Yet in another sense, the existence of God is not obvious, because we don't actually see into heaven, nor do we see into other people's hearts. Our hearts and minds have been darkened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we constantly need to exhort one another. Know the Lord. I've just been up in the north of Scotland. As some of you may know, there was a discussion up there amongst the friends I were with. They were not all Christian people. Is it necessary to go to church and be a Christian? And some said, no, it wasn't. Well, I'm afraid on this earth, we do need to exhort one another to gather together to know the Lord, to belong to Him. We need the constant reminder. And that, in the most basic sense, is what the temple, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and this church building are for. So that all who pass by, worried about the things of this world, their savings, their food, their work, their clothing, all have passed by, might remember that there's more to life than eating and working and recreation. There is a Creator, there is a Redeemer, by whose grace everything exists, before whom one day all of us shall give account. Now in the Old Testament tabernacle, in the desert and in the temple, there were these things. First of all, right at the holiest of holy, at the end there was the Ark of the Covenant. That was a box in which were the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone by God and given to Moses on Mount Sinai. The very Word of God was there at the holiest of holies. You see, because not only do we need to know that there is a God, we need to know how to live. We need to know how to relate to Him and to one another. We need His Word, the Ten Commandments. Secondly, there was the altar where sacrifices were made. That was the job of the high priest. We also need to know that we failed to keep His commandments and we need forgiveness. But forgiveness is not cheap, that there is a cost, a sacrifice. So in the tabernacle there was also an altar. Thirdly, in the tabernacle there was a basin of water. Each of us needs cleansing from sin in our hearts. That's what we need to know if we're to meet with God. And the basin of water symbolized that. Fourthly, there was the bread of the presence of God. The bread there kept in the tabernacle. It was called the bread of the presence, at the presence of God. Meaning that God meets us in the material world, in our humanity. We don't need special magic to come to know God. We don't need to go in a spaceship to find Him. He meets us in the very stuff of this world. So there was the bread of the presence. And fifthly, there was the lampstand, giving glory and radiance to the tabernacle. This meant that in this sinful world, God's creation has lost its radiance, has lost its glory. Our human sin has taken the radiance and glory out of the world, and it must be put back by God's grace. That's the lampstand. The lampstand symbolized the glory still to come. Now that was the Old Testament system for the people of Israel in the temple. But we read here in verse 13, the end of the chapter, that this first tabernacle is now obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. The writer of the Hebrews had he was prophesying this is soon to disappear. And just a few years after he wrote these words, the Roman soldiers surrounded Jerusalem, they surrounded the temple, and they knocked the whole thing down. And to this day, 1990, the people of Israel have never been able to build it, to rebuild it. Because in the place where it is, should be, and there's only one place that God allowed it to be, there is a mosque, so they can't rebuild it. It's gone. Just as Hebrews 8 verse 13 says, the whole system was destroyed. Yet, you know, it's represented in our Christian churches, which have our roots in Israel. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant there, do we? But we do have the Bible, the Word of God. The Ten Commandments are in that Bible there at the end of the church. We don't have an altar for sacrifice, but we have the cross in our church, reminding us of that one sacrifice made once for all for the sins of the whole world. We don't have a basin of water, but we often have a water basin here for baptizing both adults and babies, do we not? And understand this, that's where we get the idea of sprinkling babies with water. Don't let anyone tell you that sprinkling with water is not biblical. It is. It goes right back to the Old Testament. That's why we have a basin of water. And when we do a baptism, we symbolize to everybody that we all need cleansing from sin. We don't have the bread of the presence, but every 3 months we have the bread, which symbolizes to us the very humanity of Jesus, the body of Jesus at communion. That our actual meeting with God is through the human nature of Jesus. That's where we meet with God. He who has seen me has seen the Father, and the bread of communion symbolizes that. We don't have a candle. The candelabra they had in the sanctuary. In fact, we don't have any candles in the Church of Scotland. I'm not really sure why, but we don't. Maybe it's because we think it's too much like the Catholic. That's not a very good reason, I think. But anyway, we don't have the candles. Maybe we should have. That's something for you to think about. Verse 5. I quickly move on to the next point. Verse 5. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. For the reasons I've been explaining, it's important that there be the Word of God, that there be a place of sacrifice, that there be a basin. It's important that Moses made the thing according to the pattern, because each of these things means something very important about God's dwelling with us. But the writer of the Hebrews says that these are just a copy or a shadow of the reality of heaven. You'll forgive me quoting C.S. Lewis again. I love C.S. Lewis, but he says that this world is the shadow of the reality, which is heaven. So this world is called, he calls it the Shadowlands. Let me use a slightly different illustration based on that. We've all seen black and white films. Then perhaps you can see the same film in colour. Then you can see the same film, if you go to a special cinema, not only in colour, but in 3D. And if you see it in 3D, you feel you're right there, you're in it, and it's real. Now this world, at its best, the beauties of this flower, the flowers which our flower committee can do for us every week, even the best in this world is only like a black and white film compared with the colour 3D of heaven. That's the illustration. That's what he means here. It's a shadow of the reality which is beyond, of that which will happen to the earth when heaven is reunited with earth and it's transformed into glory, which the candelabra symbolizes. You've heard of the city without a church. Have you heard of that city? It's mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. It says there is no need of a temple in that city because the presence of God and of the Lamb, that is of Christ, fills all things. It's precisely because we live in a dark and sinful world that we need churches. If everybody knew of God and was aware of His presence, we wouldn't need churches. And in God's glory, there will be no temple, for His presence will fill all things. There will be no need to keep reminding one another that there is a God who created us. No need to keep exhorting one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest. The temple in the Old Testament, the church of today, is a pale shadow of the reality in heaven. But the reality must be somewhere else, not just in heaven, but as I said in the beginning, also in our hearts and minds. Now, so that we will find a place in heaven. When heaven and when our hearts and minds are brought together. So we read in verse 10 and 11 here in Hebrews 8. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. By the way, that means Israel. It means what it says. But through Israel, God blesses the world. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. It says here that God will write his law in their minds. His law was written on the tablets of stone in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant. His law is written in that book there, the Bible, which is given a special place in the church. But that same word must be written on our hearts and minds. We need to know the Bible. We need to let it enter our lives so God can write it on our minds. There's the altar of the tabernacle, the cross of our church. That too must be in our hearts. Not only do we look for the cross, remember it, but we must accept it into our lives, confessing our own sins. The basin of the tabernacle, the baptism bowl of our church, means that you and I must allow the Lord to cleanse us from our sin. The communion bread, the bread of the presence of the Old Testament, means that we must feed on Christ, the bread of life. We must actually know the human Jesus from whom we read in the Gospels, and knowing him day by day, we know God. And fifthly, the candlesticks of the old tabernacle symbolize that for us we need to be changed into glory. The New Testament tells us, Paul tells us, that as our bodies get weak as we grow older, so our spirit grows stronger and we're changed from one glory to another. It says here at the end of verse 11, they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. There'll be no exhortation saying, know the Lord, for everyone will know the Lord, and ministers you'll be glad to know will be out of work on that day. No job for ministers anymore to do. Because the Lord says, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sin. It doesn't mean to say that God is going to forget, but it means that God will treat us as if we haven't done the wrong we have done. How is that possible? It's only because of the Son of God, who took our place, he was treated as if he had done our wrong. And he died for us on the cross, so that God may treat us as if we had. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace and truth to all of us. Fill our lives with your light and life. May your word, given to Moses, brought to us at the Bible, may that altar, the cross on which Jesus died for us, may the water of baptism symbolize our cleansing. May the light Christ, symbolized in the candlestick of the ancient temple, shine in our lives, be in our lives forever, that we might belong to you always. We pray in Christ's name.